Okay, hello and welcome to the second edition of the Next Wednesday Instead podcast, which we called, I guess that's happening, right?
I guess. That was kind of spontaneous, but yeah, I guess that's what it's called.
It's just that's what it's called because, we can't be asked to think of a name, so there you go. Well, thank you for listening again or listening by accident or however you've listened to it, and I guess we'll just get straight into it then. So, the new releases this week were Buried and Made in Dagenham, and again, 2 weeks in a row, I am the only person to have seen either one of these films. I really do appreciate it, guys. You're really putting in the effort for me this way.
Well, I'm not going to say see Made in Dagenham.
I know, that's understandable, I guess. Buried. All right. The film, it feels kind of like an experiment. I mean, obviously, there's not much plot to it, and if you've seen the poster, you know what's happening in the film. It's a guy buried alive in a box for 90 minutes, but and the thing is, it's like conceptually, it's staying with him in the box and not cutting the flashbacks, not cutting away, not doing dream sequences or anything like that. You're just in the box with Ryan Reynolds for 90 minutes. And, well, so there's, like I said, it has moments.
That sounds horrible.
it's quite claustrophobic. And, like, in certain places, it's well done, I guess. But it always felt at times the director was always overcompensating. In a way, he was always nervous about people being bored, so he kept doing unnecessary zooms and, like, weird, like, pan out things, like. And it just, he just wouldn't let the premise of the movie be itself in a way. It's like, if I'm seeing a film about a guy trapped in a box, I want it to be claustrophobic.
When I said that sounds horrible, just being trapped in a box with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds.
If he's on Blade Trinity form.
No, I've liked Reynolds in recent years. I think he's made some crap movies in the past, but I think he is good in this, and I think it's an important film for him, because like I said, he's kind of a movie star before he's an actor at this point. But
how does he do all the funny one-liners if it's just him in a box?
He doesn't. You know, Reynolds is branching out, man. Get with the times. He was in Adventureland and stuff. He's semi-credible these days.
That's true.
He's really good in this. I think if you're going to take away one thing from Buried, it's like a very good performance by a guy who's about to explode into movie star status, I think.
Because what's he got? He's got Green Lantern.
He's got Green Lantern coming out. I mean, The Proposal was a massive hit, so I would imagine his next three films apart from this will be blockbuster.
He's pretty bankable.
He is. He makes a lot of money.
He's also in some indie, like, was it The Paper Man or something?
Oh, yeah. The thing was with Jeff Daniels?
And Emma Stone. Yeah. Have you heard about this?
I have heard about it, yeah. I've seen the trailer.
It looked so
what happened to that?
I don't know. I think these kind of films take a while to come out in the UK, I guess, because they're independent American
ones. That kind of thing which would have, like, an acoustic guitar, girly, like, folk soundtrack, and everything would be a little bit kind of quirky and...
Yeah,
well, it's very American indie.
One of them.
American indie's kind of got into a bit of a rut, I would say, in the last couple of years. There's not been too much being released that's like, wow. But anyway, off topic. Buried is it's an enjoyable experience. If you like, it's scary moments. If you are anyway afraid of being buried alive, this will be a horrible, horrible experience for you. And, it's entertaining time. It's not amazing.
It's scary.
Not in, like, oh my god, jump scare way, but if this kind of idea does kind of freak you out...
Anybody who wouldn't be a bit freaked out.
It is, it's a little freaky, and, like, that you feel like in certain places when the director's not doing ridiculous zooms into his face, you feel the claustrophobia, and it's quite intense. And basically, the movie is at its best when you're just with Reynolds, and he's being good, and, like, the director's just being quiet, and the DOP's just being quiet, and just letting him be in the movie, because, I mean, it's about one guy trapped in a box. If it's about anything, it's going to be about Ryan Reynolds.
Should it have been, then, just one shot, one man in a box?
I think it should have been, the camera really should be as minimalist as possible in this movie, but it keeps trying to be stylish, and it doesn't make sense, because you're in a box, you know? I don't want to keep zooming out to places where it breaks the illusion, in a way. I think he, in a way, like you said, he ruined it by trying to...
Be all
silly. Oh, yeah, but not believing in his movie, in a way, and I think... It does hurt the movie in some respects. But no, it's alright. You know, it's a solid 6 out of 10 film, and Reynolds is very good, so that was nice to see, because I wasn't entirely sold on his abilities as an actor before this.
Cool. Okay, what about Made in Dagenham?
Well, alright, we'll get through this one quickly, shall we?
Please.
Yes, it's a British film starring Sally Hawkins from Happy Go Lucky about a group of female machinists in the 60s who went on strike over equal pay.
Ugh. Wow, this sounds like a film I really want to go and see.
I know, and we should be mindful that we're three men and we've got to be careful of towing sexist lines here.
It's not even it's just so... Why can't we do anything that's normal
exactly,
about being British?
It's the British film industry in a nutshell, this film. It's so unambitious, so safe, and like an issue that was relevant 30 years ago in as a genuine topic of discussion is now... You know, and they throw it out like it's supposed to be some kind of edgy, interesting thing. And it's not bad. There's some good performances in it. Sally Hawkins is good. And Richard Schiff, who's in The West Wing, and he's in it, and he's very good. and a couple of others.
It's weird how Richard Schiff is getting into some British films.
He is. He was in The Infidel, and he's in this. He's got these. I guess he's while he's waiting to land another US TV show, he's making a few British movies.
Why not?
Tie the wave, I guess. But no, he's very good. I like him and everything. And like, it's not a bad film. It's just I've seen this film before, and I'll see it again.
How many films have there been about strikes?
Exactly, and it just like faux civil rights issue, and it's a real issue in the 1968. And just to be clear, equal pay is a very important thing that we all should be on the side of. But it doesn't mean it's an interesting movie to watch, and it's not a relevant like topical issue anymore. So if that's the thing it's trying to sell to me, then you know it's uninspiring cinema for this country to make, I think, at this point in time.
Do you think that it will have a crossover appeal like something like The Full Monty?
No, because The Full Monty is fun. Mm. And this isn't... This
it
really
looked like
isn't.
That was what they were trying to do. It looked, from what I saw,
they're doing it a little
so
bit,
similar.
But the humour is just so painfully 19... outdated and familiar. It just it's not funny. And it's, you know, it's the only good things about it are the serious moments, because the acting is good. But I don't know, I just... it's. I don't want to slag on it too much because it's not a terrible film, but it's just a run-of-the-mill film in every conceivable way. And I just, you know, there's not much to say apart from that, really.
Well, should we move on then?
Yeah, talking of run-of-the-mill films.
Talking of run-of-the-mill films. So the middle section of the podcast, we're going to talk about computer game movies and why it seems they have to, by law, suck. Because it seems like going through the list, there is not one that one would consider an outright good movie with nothing wrong with it.
But the best we've got is kind of alright.
Yeah, the best we've got is kind of alright. And this is a genre that is now 15, 17 years old, right? It's been around since the early 90s, and there's not been one video game to movie successful transition yet. And do we have any theories as to why that is?
Well, I think they pick the wrong games most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, there probably are games, well, you know, we know there are games that have good storylines and stuff, but you pick Street Fighter and Tekken.
I know, this
thing
is
though, it can't just be they're picking the wrong games, because they're picking a lot
of games. But also, I think the problem is that they aren't giving them proper budgets, they're not written by proper people, and I think the industry is looked at in such a way that it's stupid, it's for kids, it's, like, you know, bad, which a lot of it is, so they don't get good filmmakers making them, and they don't get good writers writing them.
It's really noticeable. I mean, it's kind of understandable in the early days, like the SNES games and the early console games, which is basically just platform. There's no story, so it makes sense those movies are going to suck. But I can't see a reason why, say, in the late years, like Tomb Raider, why Resident Evil, why Silent Hill, why Hitman,
Max Payne,
and why these things, why can't they be good? They have strong stories, they have strong senses of style. Why are they still shit?
It's just laziness.
Why it's not working here?
It's laziness because they know that it's going to make money. It's already got a fan base.
Yeah.
They don't need to make them good. Like these films keep getting people in.
Yeah,
why would they change anything?
Recently,
about
we had our fourth Resident Evil movie, so you know.
There seems to be kind of two categories of computer game movies. The ones that they put loads of money behind and get Angelina Jolie and, you know, and people in.
And Mark Wahlberg.
And then there's the Tekkens, the kind of made on the cheap that are like proper fan service where everyone looks exactly like they do in the game. And it's complete fucking balls.
Purely because they're just fans. And
I think it is an element of just them just being patronising to the audience. It's like, they're going to come and see this because Mario's in it. They're going to come and see this because Lara Croft's in it. We don't need to make it good.
And to be fair, we did watch Tekken the other day because there's people
with
Tekken.
We should say, for your listening pleasure, that we watched Tekken followed by Super Mario Brothers, followed by Street Fighter.
We did our research for this one, and that was a rough night.
That
for
was
movies,
very,
wasn't it?
Very
that
painful.
Was tough.
Oh, should we talk
I
about?
I didn't feel good about myself after that.
Should we talk about Super Mario Bros. First? Because that was the first computer game movie to get amazing.
I've got a lot to say about this as well.
Yes. So, David, do you want to go first? What are your feelings on this movie?
Firstly, I saw this when I was younger, and I remember coming out of it just feeling strange and wrong. Like, it was a really...
You were violated by
this film. I felt like it had a horrible tone, completely inappropriate for what Mario Brothers is. Because Mario Brothers is a fun, silly game, and the film tries so hard to be dark.
If I'm six, I'm having nightmares for years if I watch this
movie. Really horrible.
It's really horrible.
That's the word, it's tone.
It's
tone
just wrong.
Is just
it
so
feels
off.
Like it was made by four different people, which it was. So there you go.
Two of whom are uncredited. One of whom is Roland Joffe.
Unbelievable. It is so strange because it feels like one guy's tried to make a scary kind of Return to Us kind of kids creepy horror movie, and the other one's tried to make a fun ride where Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo are like riffing as Mario and Luigi.
The thing is, if you hadn't seen this film and someone said to you, "There's a Super Mario Brothers film. It's really bad." you don't get from that to this film.
Yeah, exactly.
It's mental.
It's so wrong, totally it's almost better than
you
it should
feel
be.
That the yeah. person who made this movie had never played the game in his life and didn't understand. Not
well,
obviously,
four people who made
you can't
game.
Make a Mario film about him jumping on mushrooms and platforms, but the tone is the thing you've got to get right, right?
Maybe it's the presence of Dennis Hopper, but I kept thinking, like, David Lynch, because it's just so off the
it
wall.
It is really, really strange.
There's a lot of really horrible,
it's just,
like,
it's a bad mix. It just feels, there's a lot of things that are trying to be scary and, like, kind of gross, but at the same time, it's thinking it's a kid's movie, and it's just, everything is wrong about it.
It's kind of creepy and, like, a bit rapey.
It is a bit rapey, that's what I'm going to say. There's a lot of horrible lines.
Conceptually, it's just a disaster, and it just, like, everything's wrong in it. And Dennis Hopper, this is a year before Speed, before he had his mini revival, and Speed is one of my favourite Dennis Hopper performances, but he is terrible in this.
Like, he knows he is, though. He's having a lot of
he's
fun.
He's self-aware.
What about word for John Leguizamo?
Man. See, I like Bob Hoskins, and I like John Leguizamo, but they are, again, Leguizamo is awful. Like,
Samantha Mathis doesn't
really
help herself.
Samantha Mathis, well, you know, she's a broken arrow. She's not usually really. But, you know, it just it's truly a disaster in every conceivable way.
But the other night when we were watching it, it was so weird and, like, wrong. It was almost right. I kind of enjoyed it.
It's so close to getting to that, like,
it is such
so
a disaster that it almost becomes something worth watching, but it is, just be clear, it's terrible.
It's absolutely awful.
But it is, you know, if it has some curiosity value to it, I think.
I actually think, out of a lot of superhero films, like, it's the one I want to watch again, just because it is kind of interestingly bad.
It's a fascinating failure, if you know that. I will move on. So, the Street Fighter / Mortal Kombat, I have noted down here, because essentially they're the same thing. The movie's based on games where people fight each other, and they're both terrible. So
they both got their little tournament.
And it is.
But one of them has Raul Julia in it.
One of them does, and he, oh man.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I mean, you expected Van Damme to be bad.
You expect Jean-Claude Van Damme to be bad, but, I mean, he's bad.
It's like,
really,
literally, Raul Julia.
Really,
I mean, I like
bad.
Him in the Addams Family. I think he is good, but he's so unbelievably terrible in this movie.
But who's good in this movie?
I know, and it's bizarre, because it's Stephen D'Souza, right?
Yeah.
He's, like, one of the writers of Die Hard, so it just is.
I think the thing with Street Fighter, which we'll talk about Tekken later, but I think the thing with Street Fighter is, it is camp, and it is a bit silly, and even though I'm not defending it, it's a really bad film. It is, I think, aware.
I think it knows that it's a bad film.
At least it's camp and fun.
That doesn't make it any less, like, horrific to see.
No, but it does make it less horrific than Tekken.
It does, which is
so
self-serious, right? So the next one I've got noted down, they don't work, because there's no story to Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat in the first place. So they just basically have to write their own, and they just it always.
When they try and incorporate, like, a massive tournament for them to fight in, it's
so
boring.
And the casting is atrocious.
It's not surprising that the acting in Street Fighter is terrible, but it really is terrible, and there's nothing to recommend about that movie in any conceivable way, is there? Right. So Tomb Raider was a relatively big scale computer game movie. I think, like, the first
maybe
big
the biggest,
one,
surely.
Probably one of the biggest. Yeah, and it had, you know, it had a proper movie starring Angelina Jolie. It had a budget. It looks good. But it's still terrible. So why did that happen?
I wouldn't say that it's terrible.
Feels pretty terrible.
Somewhere between average and bad.
Like, the plot is just ridiculous. It's kind of gone after Indiana Jones, which the game did a little bit. But
I think this is the problem, is that I consider Tomb Raider not a bad film, because we've just talked about all these
In comparison to those,
video game films.
It is a masterpiece. But it is still, there's a lot wrong with it. It's a bad to generic kind of studio release, and it just feels so plastic, and I'm not sure why that had to happen. Perhaps because Lara Croft isn't, like, as fun a character to spend time with as Indiana Jones. I mean, she's very fun to look at.
I think the only thing that's good about it compared to others is that it's expensive, and they could afford to do big explosions and stuff, and that is all you can say.
But
that's
I think Jolie.
That's why you kind of. That's why it's not completely awful, because the thing with the other films that makes them terrible is the production values are so low. At least it looks good.
It does look good, and there's some value in some of the CGI, I think, even, like, now. But Jolie, I think she's good. I like her, but she's not exactly the warmest actress sometimes. And you don't really get behind Lara Croft, I think, and it's just very alienating.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'd like to get behind Lara Croft.
Oh, man.
There was a look at all three of us in the room.
That was an innuendo.
Like, none of us are going
to
say
that was
it.
An innuendo to let go, guys. I think, come on.
There was a moment where we all looked at each other like, is anybody going to say anything?
No, I'm glad that you all did.
And then
I don't. I don't much rate that film. I think it's just as terrible as those previous films with a higher budget. For me, I don't think it's very good. So Resident Evil, which of the computer game movies, I think is probably the best reviewed, but it's still maybe Silent Hill, but it's still not very good for me. It just feels like an Aliens knockoff, and it, I don't know.
Once again, at least it's a little bit kind of entertaining.
Yeah,
I think it's got. Yeah. There's a certain style to it. It's got that. You know, it's got a kind of pumping techno soundtrack.
And it's got Colin Salmon in it.
It's got Colin Salmon in it. Who should have been James Bond.
Who improves the quality of any film.
He does. But the thing about it, I mean, I guess it's relatively enjoyable, generic, like one by one they all get killed kind of movie, and you know that can be fun. And I guess it's not terrible. But again, it should have been better. And I watch it and I'm thinking, this could have been better.
One thing about it, which it really didn't take from the games, is it's not very scary. Like,
yeah.
The games were generally quite
The zombies are very, very unthreatening. He didn't know how to really handle them. I mean,
people have responded to it, though. I mean, there's three sequels.
Well, exactly. It's done all right. And for some reason, it connected. And like I said, it's been a while since Aliens, I guess. And I guess if you're 14 or 15, you haven't seen it. And it feels, you know, it might be entertaining. And I guess parts of it are entertaining, but... Again, I just think it's a mess. I think the writing is bad. I think Paul W.S. Anderson is just a travesty.
Just
to
go.
Film.
Just leave.
Just go. I mean, when you're not even the best director with your own name.
You're dirtying the Paul.
Fair, though, anyone else called Anderson is pretty screwed.
Yeah,
as well.
This is true. But, you know, he just needs to stop. And he keeps making these terrible action-y, CGI movies that have no soul. And it just be like he's a bad version of Zack Snyder without being as good at what he does as Zack Snyder is. And it just... I just wish.
But he is a better version of Uwe Boll.
He is.
Yeah. He's the comfortable middle ground of shitness.
So Uwe Boll has probably made more computer games than anybody else. I've never seen computer game movies even. I've never seen an Uwe Boll movie even to this day. Have you heard either of you?
I've seen a bit of. Was it Alone in the Dark or no? Alone in the Dark, where Tara Reid plays a scientist.
Come on, why is that surprising to you? Tara Reid is a smart actress. You should give that vibe off.
If you cast Tara Reid as a scientist, I'm not going to watch your film.
I'm more perturbed by Christian Slater as a badass, personally. I think that's more objectionable, but you know.
I'm more perturbed with, you know, Christian Slater in a film.
What happened to Christian
Slater?
I like Christian Slater.
I've got to defend Christian Slater. He is good in, like, early Christian Slater days. But then
Heathers.
Heathers is a legitimately amazing performance, and I like Christian Slater in that.
True Romance?
I think he's good. I think he's good.
No, I was saying, you know, True Romance.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying it as well.
No, he's not bad. And, you know, if you want your slightly younger Jack Nicholson impression, he's quite a good actor to get that with. But
he's now making Uwe Boll films.
He has tailed off. And that, Alone in the Dark, I can never bring myself to watch an Uwe Boll film because
Uwe Boll got Ben Kingsley and Ray Liotta in
Yeah, I think he's a charismatic guy because he does get some quite good people to be in his movies, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's not like, and they're all terrible, and everyone knows this, but they sign up anyway.
He gets money. He's still making films.
Exactly. I think
most of which are based on video games.
Exactly.
No, nearly 100%, I think.
Yeah. Like, well, no, I think that he's got one, a Darfur film.
Yeah, that's true.
That should be a sensitive portrayal.
Yes, you know, Uwe Boll is known for his sensitivity.
Apart from that, I think they are all video games.
His maybe is an exception because he kind of is renowned to be terrible, and perhaps it isn't fair to judge the general by his standard. But we'll move on. So I've got Final Fantasy note down here, but I don't know if this necessarily counts. Because Final Fantasy movie is literally nothing to do with the Final Fantasy games. And
I hate those games, so I probably hate that film.
I remember watching Final Fantasy and just thinking, why didn't they just shoot this?
Why
is it animation? They've tried so hard to make everyone look like real people. It's just like, well, use real people.
It is bizarre. It's like, well, the Final Fantasy game is kind of like a Zelda-ish, everyone has swords set in the, like parallel past
and
kind of
thing. Stupid haircuts, and all men look like women.
Exactly, but the movie is kind of a futuristic...
Serious.
Like, again, kind of Aliens knockoff, where there's some bad guys and you have a group of soldiers and one by one they get picked off. And I don't understand. It seems like that was a script.
Why even call it Final Fantasy?
Exactly. It seems like that was an existing script and they just said, hey, Final Fantasy has some fans, let's call it Final Fantasy.
It's like just making a completely different film and calling it Sonic, Sonic fans go and see it.
And it's just like, it had no characters from the games, it had no, anything from the games, really. It was very strange.
By the way, where is our Sonic movie?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I want a Sonic movie.
I'm so surprised they haven't made a Sonic film.
Don't envy the guy who has that tattoo.
I want it to be done like Mario, like really dark and weird.
Yeah.
I want Zack Snyder to make it.
And real people playing that Sonic.
Yeah, Sonic, yeah. Like, I don't know, like Sean Penn as Sonic. You know? So the best one, as far as we're all concerned, I think, is Silent Hill. I think.
Yeah, well, me and you've seen it.
Me and you've seen it, you haven't.
But it's typical, the only good one I haven't seen.
Yeah, I guess.
It's not, I wouldn't even call it good.
It's
like, the
not
story
great,
isn't
but
very good.
It's visually very, very engaging, I think.
And it is
that
quite creepy.
And the atmosphere of it is well done, yeah. And it's got a good performance from Radha Mitchell, who's good in most things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not great, but it's.
It looks great.
It does what it does, and it doesn't offend me. And that is pretty much the only computer game movie to do that. I mean, again, there's Doom, which, again, was quite a major release, and that was just.
Doom was really bad.
Terrible. And I don't. The thing about Silent Hill is that it kind of interestingly cast itself. It cared about the aesthetics of the thing.
And it got the tone right.
Exactly,
and
it got
the
tone right, and that is the thing, I think, because obviously game stories might not translate well, but if you get the tone right, you're going to be forgiven. And I think Silent Hill is pretty much the only one to successfully do that.
Yeah.
Maybe you could throw Resident Evil, but I think...
I think Resident Evil was too light, almost.
It was. Yeah. It was. You didn't have that sense of dread that was in the game, but I think Silent Hill definitely does, and I think that's why it kind of gets a pass from me.
Yeah, even though I was trying to recap the plot in my mind, and it didn't make sense, really.
Yeah, the plot is silly, but there's some scary moments in it, and, you know, what else can you ask for from the genre that's terrible on the whole, so...
No, definitely, I'd agree.
But yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of big, like, major, really, like, Hitman was quite a wide scale, Doom was a big release, Max Payne was a big release.
Big.
But again, they all just end up as massive, incoherent messes.
Max Payne was so bad.
Do these films make money,
by the way? Doom did alright. I know Max Payne didn't do very well, I don't think Hitman did either, but...
No. But, well, Prince of Persia, they put a lot of money behind
Yeah, Prince of Persia was a Jerry Bruckheimer production.
I think they were trying to do a kind of Pirates of the Caribbean with that.
Again, you can tell, like, the story translation doesn't work. It's just so thin. It's just so horribly thin. There's nothing there. So basically, if you're going to do this...
But it didn't offend me.
It didn't offend me, but in a way it did offend me, because it was so unambitious. And so we're going to do the absolute minimum and concerns the story. That is kind of offensive. You could have done something kind of cool with that. And they just were too chicken shit to do it. And that kind of does, in a way, offend me. I don't know. It's just cowardice. And that seems to be the problem with all of them. It's just no one has the balls to really go out and do it right. I mean, just...
Or the studios just realise they're going to make money out of them anyway, probably. Yeah. So
I mean, admittedly, we're still kind of in... We've not really moved past PS2 translations. Maybe once they get to, like...
And maybe once the screenwriters of the video game generation, more of them
exactly.
come through...
Because, I mean, like, the Xbox 360 and PS3 game stories are much more impressive part
because
of
the games
game.
Are much more advanced.
Exactly. So now
it's true. Like, most of these, we got Super Mario Bros. We wanted a Sonic game.
Yeah.
They're not really story-based games.
It seems
they're
like
all
the
old,
movie,
kind of,
like,
yeah.
translations are about 5 years behind the actual games.
They need a Half-Life game.
They do.
Yeah.
It's like maybe
they need to just find, like, a game with a really good story and not just
which
a
is
popular
a modern
game.
Now. It's not like a rare thing these days to find a game with a really good story. I think that's probably most of, like, the successful releases.
So do we predict a good video game film in the future?
I think it will happen.
Is it possible?
I think it will happen because, like I said, games are so rich now that... If they keep making them badly, it makes no sense. There's nothing to blame on except, like, some kind of curse.
They could do a good God of War game.
There are many games they could do good. I mean, you could do a good Halo game. I mean, Halo has been towered around.
I saw today, actually, on the internet that they want Steven Spielberg for it.
I heard
it was going to be the District 9 guy.
Yeah, well, it was going to be him, and then he already tried to make it, like, when Peter Jackson was producing it, and then it fell through, and they made District 9 instead. But, yeah... I think a Halo game is going to happen at some point.
Halo
movie, even, yeah, is going to happen at some point. And a couple of others as well. I can't believe there's been no, like, Metal Gear Solid or Grand Theft Auto game movie yet. I mean, there's many that you could point to. And I think eventually it is going to happen. Because I think at this point, we're still translating games with weak stories. And eventually, when they catch up with one
I'm still waiting for a
Football
Manager movie.
Well, we can always dream, Jamie. movie producers, if you're listening, this podcast officially recommends a Football Manager movie. And we'll go and see it, even if it's just us three, so please do that for us.
And we'll get a cut of profits.
We will, because it was our idea.
No one
saw it. So, you know, fuck you. All right, so we should move on, because I think we pretty much can agree that...
So what's the problem with video games?
The problem with video, I just think they don't respect the material, for one. They don't often care about making it a good movie.
Most of them don't have good stories in the
fans. And that's true.
And the ones that are made by fans, the fans don't know what they're doing.
Exactly, like, with the Tekken translation, it's just like... Tick box ticking. When you box tick movies
can we just briefly talk about Tekken?
Okay,
I can't remember that.
I don't really,
that bad.
Really don't have anything to say about Tekken, so I'll let one of you guys do it because
I don't want to think about it.
I don't want to think about it.
It's one of those films where after you've seen it, you feel like you've lost something.
It does.
Something inside
it's
you.
Stolen some of your
something
life.
Has died forever inside of me because I had to watch
it's,
90
it's
minutes of Tekken.
It's just like atrocious, like in any.
I know, and it's
every and any conceivable
it's just
way.
Not even
just
fun.
Shit.
It was so serious, wasn't it? It was just, ugh.
Oh.
I think that's it. I don't think we need to devote any more time to that.
Don't watch Tekken.
Awful,
just never
awful film.
Watch Tekken.
Just don't
never.
Do it to yourself.
It's worse than watching the film in the ring.
Play the game for 2 hours. That you've got the film, and it's better.
It is just
it
so
looks
much
more
better.
Realistic than the film.
Ugh. Right, well, right, so we'll move on, and because we just can't bear talking about such a depressing topic any longer, because they're all so terrible, to the filmography feature, which we're hopefully going to have every week again, unless we don't. But this week it's Danny Boyle. Mm. So I assume he's made some undeniably good movies, but you two are fans of Danny Boyle, right?
Yeah, I've seen pretty much all of them except for Slumdog.
You haven't seen Slumdog yet?
That's the only one I haven't seen.
Right.
And I haven't seen the one with Cameron Diaz. That's the only one I haven't seen.
Life, you're not missing much.
It's not one of the better ones. So we'll try and start from the beginning here. So has everyone seen Shallow Grave?
Yep.
So what are your like initial feelings on Shallow Grave?
I think you kind of liked it, didn't you?
Well, actually, no. What I was going to say is I thought it's kind of... I only saw it quite recently. And obviously it's been built up. And I was a little disappointed. I thought it's kind of overrated.
Yeah, it did nothing for me at all.
I don't think it was bad, but it was just... All the characters are so unlikable. And I know that's almost kind of the point. But I couldn't really get into it very much. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I don't want to say it's bad because I think there's a lot of style in there. Like at the beginning of I like Ewan McGregor a lot, and I think he's like clearly like a good lead to have in that kind of thing. He's an enjoyable presence. He's likable, and I think he does a lot for that movie. Probably more than was him given credit for, because I think otherwise that would have been quite a dour experience. But I think Eccleston I liked his performance as well. But
I do like it when he's up in the loft.
Yeah, I mean, it has some stylish moments, and some of the writing is good, but
The problem is, I was kind of bored.
It's not great.
It's kind of one thing happens, and then it's kind of spread across the whole film, and there's really, like, there's kind of bits in it which are really cool, like the light coming through when he's in the loft and stuff, but then it's a bit kind of like, it feels random that he's there a little bit, and it just doesn't kind of earn the cool things that it does.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean,
for me, it's kind of a standard thriller given like resonance because it's British. I think the only reason it's successful is because it's British, and nobody has made a thriller that good so in a long time at that point in time. And it was just merely very. I think it was kind of like a 3.5 out of 5 if you're doing that. But you don't get that kind of thing. You very rarely get British films that enter the thriller genre in 1991, and it just it was a breath of fresh air. Even if it hasn't stood up so well now, it did serve a purpose when it came out for like wiping away memories of like the long Good Friday, which it kind of like made all films tried to rip off, and it just felt tired. And it just, I think this was like an important release to be successful and to be British.
And to help Danny Boyle,
because you can tell he's a good director from this movie, can't you? It's very well put together.
And I think the performances, although I don't find the character likable, I think the performances are pretty decent.
Is it Kerry Fox in this movie? She's kind of forgettable, but I think McGregor and Eccleston make a mark, and they're both very good.
Definitely.
Particularly McGregor for me. So, which puts us nicely into his next one, which remains my favourite, I think, which is Trainspotting.
Oh, it's so good.
Undoubtedly.
I think I can't think of too many British films in the history of British cinema that I like more than Trainspotting, to be honest. I think it's literally like a masterpiece.
It feels so iconic. It's so many moments in it, like going in through the toilet seat, the baby on the ceiling, just so much stuff.
Like you can tell it's a great movie where you're watching it, and you're like, oh, it's that bit in a minute, and it's, oh, it's that bit in a minute. And it just, Trainspotting is full of those moments, and I just think it's like really well acted, stylish movie.
I think it's much more kind of mature than Shallow Grave in a way. You really get, there's like much more of an emotional kind of center to it, whereas with Shallow Grave it felt more like what you're saying about Baird, almost an experiment for Danny Boyle to just
But I think like Trainspotting is a very progressive, very like, it's a very short movie the way it's put together. I think it's
confident, the whole film,
exactly. And I think that kind of makes it work like even better than it does, just the fact that you're watching it and you just feel that Danny Boyle is so assured with what he's doing here that it makes it work even better. And
all aspects of it are so beautifully like kind of contrasted in a way, like with the music and then the imagery, and it's just kind of artful, but also commercially successful.
It's a British film that looks great.
It's very important for British cinema because it looks great, that it's original, and you know how you can, in the last 20 years you can list those on one hand, and it just is such an important movie for, because without it I just look at the British film industry and I go, Shaun of the Dead is the best British movie of the last 20 years, and I'd be depressed and I'd cry a little bit. I know, you know. I mean,
is Children of Men a British film?
I guess, but not.
It's pretty a Spanish.
I mean, it's also got.
I mean, in terms
like,
of mainstream releases, anyway.
Like
obviously,
that,
there's going to be some indie ones.
Yeah,
I don't think it's got American Money in it. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Harry Potter. I mean, everyone's English, but it's not exactly a British film, is it? That kind of the problem. But no, I think Trainspotting is like legitimately like probably in my top 50 movies that I've. Of all time. I just think it's a really,
it's
really good,
I think it'd be in a lot of people, so
yeah definitely. And McGregor, I think in this, even he's even better in this than he is in Shallow Grave, but I think it's very like a movie star making performance, and I think he has mostly his career based on Trainspotting in a way. I think it's because of how
I think both him and Danny Boyle probably find it hard to do something better than
I think so
yeah And I think that in a way that's almost been a problem for Ewan McGregor. His recent he's just really like he's just nowhere near as good. Yeah, as he's you know it's almost like at the start of your career having your best film and then how do you top that?
I, in a way, I don't think three Star Wars prequels necessarily.
Like Jake Gyllenhaal in Donnie Darko.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of true. But I don't know. At least done Brokeback Mountain and a couple of other things.
Yeah, true.
But McGregor, he did struggle for a while, like I said, with three Star Wars prequels and a couple of really terrible movies. Like
I liked The Men Who Stare at Goats. He was good in that.
He was good in that bit.
And I Love You, Philip Morris. Yeah.
He's been in some good movies.
He has been in good films.
And I like him and I'm glad that he's... And Star Wars.
He's atrocious.
Thing is, though, if you're
far
an actor,
better than Hayden Christensen.
If you're an actor and someone says to you, "Do you want to do Star Wars?"
Exactly.
Three
he must have got paid so much money for that.
I'd have been like, "Yeah." Like who wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
I mean, in advance, you probably wouldn't have known how crap it was going to be.
He is quite bad, isn't he?
But he's really bad, I think.
I mean, for Trainspotting, you should just say that it's not just Ewan McGregor in this movie. There's like several good supporting.
Johnny Miller.
I think Robert Carlyle is the one that stands out for me.
Carlyle's always good, isn't he?
He's always good, but this is you know, he almost steals this movie. As much as I like McGregor, it's like I come out of it and I watch it and go, Robert Carlyle is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he had quite a good career, I guess, but he didn't get as many opportunities I think as he deserved. And I think he's very good in this. He's very good in this. And obviously, it's like Kelly MacDonald's in it. You know, I guess you and Bremner are probably a little less so. But, you know, this is very good.
He's not terrible, though.
Oh, he's not terrible, but it's a good ensemble cast, and everyone's good in it, and the writing is good, and the direction is good, and just it's a great experience for a movie.
So it's good.
It's good. What's it's next? What we're coming down on. The next movie is Life Less Ordinary, which we probably won't talk about
just
too long.
Just kind of glaze over it, really.
Just quickly, I mean, it's kind of, again, it's kind of conceptual. It's like the same writer as Shallowgrave and Trainspotting, which is John Hodgson. It just kind of feels like he's trying to write his masterpiece here, but it's just all gone wrong. Mm. And he's trying to be really creative and imaginative, but it doesn't work.
It feels like a second draft. It doesn't feel like a finished
it feels like maybe there was something good there at some point, but it just feels a mess. And
yeah.
I mean, Cameron Diaz is not very good in it. And, you know, it's shoehorns in some Americans. Delroy Lindo and Holly Hunter are in it for no reason. And I think they play angels.
And I like Delroy Lindo.
I like Holly Hunter. I mean, they're both good, but they don't fit. And it just... Apart from McGregor being likable, I can't really remember too much to recommend about that movie.
Right. I mean, I can barely even remember it.
No, it's very forgettable because of how much of a mess it is. So we'll move on to The Beach, which again...
which I saw recently.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen
it. So do you want to quickly talk about it?
Before I'd seen it, I'd heard that it was quite bad. And obviously people were talking about Trainspotting before and stuff and not A Life Less Ordinary.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of liked it. I don't think it's a great film. But I don't think it's awful, and I think Leo gives a good performance. The problem is, I think the book is probably really good, but the screenplay I thought was quite bad. I hated the voiceover, and the bit where Leo just goes mental for 5 minutes at the end. The end and the kind of... just before the end was a mess.
I think it is structurally a bit of a mess.
I think it is a mess. And there's some, again, there's some good elements. I think Robert Carlyle is a very, very entertaining cameo in it, but...
But I didn't dislike it. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it, and like some of the supporting performances of the middle cast. I think Tilda Swinton's in it, and a couple of others. But I don't think remember them being too good.
No,
but it's not the best script in the world. It's a good idea, but it's
John Hodge as well, isn't it?
No, I think it's Alex Garland.
Yeah, I think so.
And Alex Garland's the book. John
and
Hodge
John
Hodge's
the
script.
Adaptation. Yeah. Well, maybe that's part of the problem. And that's two very different voices, and they kind of hit.
Yeah.
The brick wall a little bit, but no, I mean there's still stuff to like about it, but it's hard. I wouldn't call it success by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, okay, what's next?
28 Days Later, which I think was the movie that kind of revived him, because I think Life Less Ordinary and A Beach kind of had him a bit...
I think people were probably already starting to say, oh, he's had it.
Exactly, but without 28 Days Later, I don't think there'd be a Slumdog Millionaire or any...
And like, it shows his versatility
anything,
as well.
It saved his career, and it does, because it's like, you don't often get someone who would be very critically acclaimed going out there and making a horror movie in
on
digital,
on
you know?
DV, yeah.
Exactly.
So, I love the visuals.
It really works,
so
and it's like, in a way, it revived the zombie genre for like a good 5 years.
It's not a zombie film.
Oh no! Some of the stuff he said in like the press tour, I didn't really like. I mean, he kind of insulted George Romero a lot. It's like, oh, it's not like not Night of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, etc. These movies aren't what we're going for. But then you stole your entire last act from Day of the Dead, carbon copy, and you're slagging off that guy who you ripped off from. I don't know how I feel about that, but yeah, it's very good. I think like it's very like exciting, a very scary movie. I think because of the digital and like.
Well, you keep saying the digital and how it looks good. I actually think...
You think it looks bad?
I don't think it looks bad, but I think a lot of it looks amazing. But I think there's scenes... I think it looks amazing when there's, like, action scenes or big, epic shots of London empty.
Yeah, that
but when there's
really
two or three characters in a room talking, it just looks like EastEnders.
It can. That is probably a fair point. But,
yeah.
I mean, we've not even mentioned the thing that kind of made the thing it was, which is fast zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that came out and it was like, oh, zombies can go fast and that's amazing. And that's part of the success of this movie, as silly as it sounds, but it is.
Yeah.
And it works really well, doesn't it? It makes them a lot more threatening than the slow zombie.
Definitely.
Slow zombie movies always have to be about something else because the zombie is so pathetic a villain. Yeah. It's not...
Slow zombie movies, everyone in the film kills about five of them and they fall apart.
These are threatening.
Tough. You have to smash it to shit with a fucking cricket bat.
Exactly. They are very, very...
In a way, when you're saying this isn't a zombie movie, it isn't really, because they're not really zombies, are they?
They're just very, very angry people.
But that
just,
is...
It's
semantics, I think. It is a zombie movie in the zombie genre, even if they're not officially zombies. I mean, come on. I like it. I think it's very scary. I think it does what it does very well. I think Cillian Murphy's very good in it. Yep. I think, again, Eccleston is very good, and it's like in his final bit. Not everyone likes that him in this, I think, but I remember thinking he was very good.
Yeah.
And, I enjoyed it. It's a fun movie, and in the first of his two partnerships with Alex Garland, the second of which is Sunshine. So, how do we feel about Sunshine?
I think Sunshine is my second favourite Danny Boyle film.
I think you guys probably
think 28 Days Later, but I think I prefer it.
I think I prefer Sunshine as well, actually.
But that might be a sci-fi over zombie thing.
I mean, I think the sci-fi of it is a very, very good idea, because it's like, I don't remember, it's like, you know, there's no aliens, it's all quite minimalist in a way. And I think it does, it works very well. I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about the whole Mark Strong villain thing at the end.
The final act.
I think a lot of people have a problem with that.
It's definitely weaker, but like before that, it's like, it's an intelligent, quite like thrilling, like some of the sequences.
Really stylish as well.
And we should take a minute to say how good Chris Evans is in Sunshine. Yeah. Chris Evans is not another teen movie. You come into this and you go, oh. But he's so good in this. He steals it from several, like, a
short actors. And the thing is, it's not even like he's got one of those characters who are, like, insanely kind of, like, he's not like a drug addict or something where he has the opportunity to be really good. He's just really solidly...
He's just so, like, he's such a, like, a confident and, like, like, charismatic performance. And he remembered him taking
very
bad. And
it's convincing. He's a person.
Because he's kind of the pragmatic team.
Exactly.
One,
it's like, he, in a way, he's kind of the antagonist of the group. Yeah. But he just is so good and he so, like, earns your sympathy despite being a bit of a dick. I remember it's really, really, really good performance from Chris Evans. I was not expecting that at all.
The whole cast did pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Murphy gets a little bit lost because I don't think the role is a bit the strongest
bit
in the
weak.
World.
Yeah, I think so. I think the thing with Murphy is, like, he's never 100%, like, cemented as the main character, but then it's clear at the end that he's supposed to be the main character.
And I remember thinking Rose Byrne's character was a bit...
Yeah, she was kind of...
I mean, I like Michelle Yeoh, and the Japanese, I forget his name.
Oh, the guy who's also
in Lost.
Yeah.
He's in Lost, but
he's
he was
awesome.
Very good. And Cliff Curtis as well, I want to say.
Yeah.
He was very good.
He was good.
But
I like Cliff Curtis.
I think,
he was good in Push.
He was, but it's a very important movie to mention.
Another thing to say about Sunshine, though, is like, even though at the end you can say it kind of spirals off into something bad.
I think it definitely does.
I think some of the imagery was amazing.
Oh,
like,
it looks amazing. Let's not take that.
Some
inventive
visuals going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it takes like it's
a
hard
bit where they go to the ship and there's all these flash frames of the crew. That was creepy.
I think it is hard not to make a space movie look good, but I feel this looks better than like your average space movie. It looked really like the imagery and some of it is like outstanding and it really is memorable.
It's eerie and creepy without being like kind of balls to the wall horror. I think
there's a lot like the violence in it, and like basically before Mark Strong in it, I think appears, like I would say it's a very, very strong movie, and I think it kind of derails, but up to that point, I mean, it's very original, I think there's a lot of it that works really well.
I think even with the Mark Strong ending, it's a little frustrating because it was something different before, but it's still entertaining.
It's entertaining, but I remember being in the cinema thinking, right, this is
annoying.
Itself.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but the fact of how good it was before, you feel frustrated.
You feel like it needed a
It turns into a one by one, doesn't it?
It does. And
you feel like it needed a kind of a smarter, more.
It needed a smarter ending
to what you'd seen before, sort of. Ending.
You know, and it turned into Alien, and I'd rather it hadn't. You know, like where they get killed off one by one by a like seemingly invincible bugger, even though he's not. And I don't know. I just thought it was
kind of
weak.
Weird, yeah. Like,
but I don't want to take away from the first say hour of the film, which is very, very strong, and there's a lot to like about it, definitely.
Yeah.
So
did you?
Oh, no,
did we skip over Millions?
I think we did.
Yeah, we did.
I've skipped over more than one. That's the other one I haven't seen. Yeah,
I've skipped over
a couple of, like, there's a few after Life Less Ordinary that are very small releases as well, but the thing about Millions is it's alright.
Exactly. I was going to say
but
I wasn't going to bring it up because I thought, I don't really want to talk about it.
I know, that's
so
what I was
like,
thinking. It's alright. James Nesbitt is James Nesbitt in it, but there's not much to say.
It feels a bit like kind of made Dagman British.
Yeah, it feels like it should have been like a movie on ITV rather than the cinemas, yeah. And it's, you know.
Does it not have a Danny Boyle stamp then, really?
There's some stylistic moments, I guess, but it feels like someone wrote it in like their sixth form and it got like run a grant because of how politically correct it was.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of it, really. But yeah, so after
Sunshine. Slumdog,
I think it is Slumdog, yeah. So Slumdog, I think, is his Oscar-winning movie. He won an Oscar for this. And will be considered generally his best movie by everybody. How do you guys feel about it, apart from you who haven't seen it? So you go.
I wouldn't consider it his best movie, definitely.
No.
But I think
it's very good, you know. Or do you
is
not?
It? I thought it was really formulaic, and I got very frustrated with the whole oh, look how his complete coincidental... You know, I know it's meant to be kind of magical, but it's very...
It's very manipulative, I think. But the thing, I remember not minding being manipulated, because I think it's quite, like, emotionally honest. So, in a way, even if it is a little bit, like, trite in its structure, I thought, you know, it was a romantic movie. Even if it wasn't the smartest movie, I believed in its message, that it believed it. And it kind of worked for me in that way.
I know what you mean.
And also, Dev Patel from Skins, who is... very good in that
is
film.
He?
I think he's really good.
That's another thing. I thought, I didn't see what all the fuss was about. I didn't think he was bad, but
impressed. Perhaps just because I had Skins on my mind, I thought, oh, he's going to be rubbish. And should we just take a minute to talk about Skins, which is the virus of British TV?
Do we have to?
Just to insult it, never watch Skins. But anyway, he's in Skins and he's terrible in it, and everyone's terrible in it. So I went into this movie only knowing him from that, and I was kind of expecting him to be like, he said, very, not really a strong lead, but I remember being really impressed. I was like, fair dude.
Were you as impressed in The Last Airbender?
I was not, no. But he is not the worst person in The Last Airbender, so there is that.
But no, I'm being unfair, because it's very good. And I remember I came out with a smile on my face, which is what everyone says about it.
It's a little bit manipulative, and it's a little bit overly feel-good, perhaps, but I just think it's a very, like,
and to be fair, to
simply
it has
inspiring
some
movie.
Dark moments as well.
It does, it's like
the way it treats the orphans and
the eyes,
yeah.
I remember, that was nasty. But yeah. No, I think it's not the darkest or the most intelligent film ever made, but I think it's like, its heart is in the right place. And I think it's a very, you know, it is legitimately inspiring in a way. And I think that's kind of a nice film to see sometimes. I mean, I'm like Paul Thomas Anderson movies as much as the next guy, but sometimes you just kind of want like romanticism in the cinema a little bit. And it's quite nice to see that in this kind of film. So.
And it shows Danny Boyle's kind of versatility.
It does. If we're talking about that, how many, he's made a sci-fi, he's made a horror, he's made like Trainspotting, which I don't even know, like a junkie movie. And he's made a Bollywood movie for all intents and purposes. And, you know, he's just jumping through genres. And I don't think anyone's done it as well as he has, like, except maybe Stanley Kubrick. But Kubrick's better than Danny Boyle was at this point. But he does. He never makes the same film twice. And that's kind of a good attitude
to
have.
So what's next for him, then?
Well, there's the James Franco starring 127 Hours, I think it's called. But
apparently people have been fainting in screenings.
It has. It's about the guy who got trapped under a rock and had to, well, should we spoil it?
Mm. Well, it's pretty much spoiled, isn't it?
Yeah, he had to kind of...
I think everyone knows.
Yeah, he kind of cut his own arm off with a pen knife and then survived. Just, you know, well, survival story.
It's quite a famous story.
Yeah, it's got some very good reviews and, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Apparently Franco's amazing in it. And I think he's got to the point where he's going to deliver a really good performance in a movie now, Franco.
Kind of needs it.
His Spider-Man years behind him now.
His Spider-Man, he's quite credible now. I think he's been good in enough films now to be legitimately considered a good actor. So.
Yeah.
Fair play, James Franco.
So when's that coming out?
I think it will probably be around January, February in the UK, but it's an Oscar film this year, so it'll be around December in the US. So as a quick, your top three Danny Boyle films. Do you think we can do that?
Yeah.
Or is that too ambitious?
I can do that. Okay. Number one, Trainspotting. Number two, Sunshine. Number three, 28 Days Later.
Okay.
Mine's exactly the same as that.
Mine's going to be a bit different. Mine would be number one, Trainspotting. Number two, Slumdog Millionaire. Number three, 28 Days Later.
Or it could be A Life Less Ordinary, Shallowgrave.
It could be. No, I mean, I like Shallowgrave a bit more than you guys, I think. But no, it's not the best movie in the world. So I think that about does it.
Yeah.
So, thanks for listening again for the second one, which feels like much shorter than last time. And maybe I'm wrong, but... Well, if I am wrong, that's going to look really stupid. But yeah, I hope I'm not. So yeah, thanks for listening. And yeah, tune in next week. Hopefully it will be a bit earlier in the week next time, and not so ridiculously like towards the end of the week where you've already seen all these movies and you don't care anymore. So we're going to try and do it for Monday. But yeah, thanks. Tune in next time.